Isn't God good? He sure is. He's good all the time. His word says his praise shall continually be in our mouth. And it says for us to magnify him. It says, let us exalt his name together. Said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Amen. How many of you know God can deliver you from all your fears, right? Amen. And you know, it's so exciting to be here. I want to thank Pastor Bill and Debbie for having me again. It is always, we love being with them. You know, we all come to PI and give your pastors a call just so we can have lunch together. And one of our favorite places is the Preserves. Man, that place is good eating. Something about that potato pie. Lord have mercy. Anyway, I love that potato pie. Right now I wouldn't be allowed to have any, but I love it. Anyway, it's good. And that raspberry cheesecake. Hallelujah. And so, you know, I travel on the island quite a bit, probably every couple weeks. I'm down here traveling almost from coast to coast of the island. And every time I drive through the island, I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm asking God to bless this island with a fresh wave of God's Spirit and God's anointing. You know, and we're talking about, my job is to work with unsanctified fishermen. So if Mike is one yet, he'd be the first one we found. And so part of my job is I deal with all the lobster manufacturers here. They buy boxes from me. They buy all the boxes to ship their lobster to China and in different places, and that's what I do. And I love my job because I get to travel and pray all over the Maritimes. And I think that we need people that are going to pray for our cities, are going to pray for our provinces, and we need to believe God to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. And you know what? I really believe that God is going to move in the Maritimes, is going to move in the Atlantic provinces in ways we have yet not seen. You know, I really believe it with all my heart. I do believe. I don't care if it starts in the West or in the East, as long as it gets to us, right? You know, I mean, start in Toronto, go both ways. It doesn't matter. You know, but I'm really believing that God's going to do big things. You know, you serve a big God. No, do you really know you serve a big God? You know, a God that took chaos. He took chaos. It was chaos. The earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And then God said, let there be. Or he would say, be light, and light was. He'd say, let there be, and it became to pass. You know what? It's a powerful thing to think that his words have never stopped operating even right now. He took chaos, and he made cosmos. I mean, there's planets, there's galaxies being developed all the time just because God said, let there be, and it was. What a great God we serve. You know, there's a place, I don't know if you guys saw the picture on Facebook, I thought it was pretty cool. They took a picture and they called it the gates of heaven, and it was beautiful. I don't know if that's really the gates of heaven or not, it doesn't matter. But you know what, if you can see things through space and think, you know what, how great is our God? And then he built all that, and then he wanted to have fellowship with us. And the one thing I've learned about God in my 33 years of knowing Jesus is that God is true to his word. He's true to his word. I found out something about God. He's not moved by my feelings. He's not moved by my need. He's not moved. He's not moved by those things. I mean, as much as people say, well, doesn't God see the need? It's not need that moves God. God is moved by faith. He truly is. He's not moved by need, because if need moved God, God'd be moving everywhere. I mean, really, you think about it. If need moved God, God'd be moving in Africa. He'd be moving in very poor places in all parts of the world. But need doesn't move God. Doesn't see what they need. Yeah, but God put laws into place in his word that will work in Africa. Do you know in Africa, the largest church ever being built is being built right now, debt-free, and it's working the principle. And I mean, how do I know? Because I watched it in Toronto when Brother Copeland was there, and Seed Time and Harvest works in Africa. The same way it works in India, the same way it works in the Philippines, the same way it works in Prince Edward Island, it doesn't change, right? Because God's no respecter of person. If you're not, they're building a 100,000 seat sanctuary in Africa, and the pastor has already got the money to build it. They built a 50,000 seat sanctuary and figured it wasn't big enough. They got over 400,000 to 500,000 people in Africa going to church. And people are prospering. And God is moving mightily. So the one thing I know about God, He stays true to His word. You know, can we make up our mind that if God says something, He means it? He means what He says. He says what He means. He doesn't put things in the Word to tempt you. He doesn't put things in the Word to confuse you. He puts things in the Word so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. And I want to tell you something. It's the truth. He doesn't just put something in there. And so if He put in His Word that by His stripes we are healed, then shouldn't we be healed by His stripes? If He put in His Word that He sent His Word and He healeth us, then shouldn't we be healed? If He put in Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 that He's redeemed us from the curse of the law, shouldn't we be redeemed from the curse of the law? The Bible says in Romans, it says we are not under the law of the spirit of death, but we are under the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Life permeates through us. Do you know why we needed to be born again? Because this flesh was born into sin. But when we're born again, we're born into the righteousness of God. We're born with a new spirit to have communication with God. And that's why it's so awesome to be born again. We're a new breed of people. Oh, I was expecting a better amen, but we're a new breed of people. Oh, there we go. We are. We're a new breed of people. We're of a God people. And God is designed to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. You know, the Word of God says in Job, if you decree a thing, it shall be established. If you decree a thing, it shall be established. Last year, In January of last year, when we turned 2017, I declared that I would live 2017 in the year of overflow. That would be the year of overflow in my life, and that's where I would live. And I tell you what, I've been confessing now for 25 years. People say, how you doing? And I tell them I'm healthy, wealthy, and wise. Blessed of the Lord, highly favored, and good looking too. And so that's my confession. How you doing? I'm healthy, wealthy, and wise. Blessed of the Lord, highly favored, and good looking too. And I grew a beard. My wife says, it's working. That good looking part of the confession is starting to work out for you. And so, praise God. Didn't know I had to hide under hair to get good looking, but whatever works, glory to God. And so, you know, that's been my confession. But in 2017, God began to give me that word. I spoke it over my church. You know, the Bible says if you receive from a prophet, you can receive a prophet's reward. So whatever the prophets are speaking can be your reward. You can hook onto their faith and what God said to them by just being in association with them and say, hey, I received that prophet's reward. So if Brother Copeland says it's the year of 18, 9 fruits and 9 gifts, I'm all into that. I want the 9 fruits and the 9 gifts to flow in my life, right? And so I begin to say it's the year of overflow. And you know, a lot of people looked at me, and like most people when you preach in church, yeah, right? And sometimes we speak the word of God and people don't really take you serious. But in the Bible, it says when they received the words of Paul as if it was of God, mighty things begin to happen in their life as the word of the Lord. So when somebody comes and says they have a word from God, you don't hold on to their words. You hold on to the word of God that comes out of their mouth. And then things will begin to happen and manifest. So I said it was the year of overflow. Like me and my wife, we've been in the ministry 25 years. And I mean, you know, it's been, I like to tell you that I prospered all the way from the first day, that it was just so easy and everything was just so grand. And it was just so easy. The ministry's just been so easy for 25. Everybody loved me. Everybody was glad for me. Everybody applauded me. Everybody wanted the best for me. I wish I could tell you that. That's not how things happen. I've had to work. I had to do different things. But, you know, in 2016, I had a salary. You know, I had a certain amount of money that I made in 2016. In 2017, when I declared the year of overflow, my income didn't double. My income became 10 times what I had made in 2016. And because I'm telling you, it's the year of overflow, and it began to overflow in our life. It's just been amazing. I'm telling you what, I dreamt about giving vehicles away. And last year, I got to do it twice. And I'm telling you, it's just an amazing feeling. But my concepts begin to change. My mind began to change. You know what? Giving is not what I do. I'm a giver. It's in my nature to give, and I'm a receiver. It's in my nature to receive. And so the other day we're eating a meal at the, I'm just sharing a little bit. I'm going to get to the word. Is this okay? Just want to build your faith. And we're at Homestead's in Riverview. I don't know if you've ever been to Homestead to eat, but it's a good place to eat. And we're sitting there. We saw somebody that we know were church people. And I'm sitting there and I said, you know, God says, he says, I want you to buy their meal. You know, I said, okay, God. I leaned over at Tina. I said, go buy their meal. And she, you know, Tina, she don't fight me on all that stuff a whole lot, you know. And so she just said, oh, yeah, sure. And I just had it in my heart. I just, God told me to do that. And so that person that was sitting there, we went and talked to them. And he went to the washroom and came back, and then he shook my hand. And then he shook my hand, and I've been in ministry long enough that I knew it was something in it. Right? So I stuck it in my pocket. I said, God, you want to know if I was beaten enough to pay for his meal, and now he gave me the money to be able to do it. Isn't God cool? And so there I am. I, you know, and you never look right away. You know, you go to the washroom and look, or you know, so I just stuck it in my pocket, you know, and then I paid for the meal and went in the car. But it was more than the meal I paid for him. You know, it was three fresh $100 bills, you know, so which was pretty cool, because God is just beginning to show me that you can be at Homestead, you can be in the mall, you can be anywhere, and if you're willing, obedient, you can eat the good of the land. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter. Your surrounding does not matter as much as it is you believing that God wants to do something in your life today. I mean, you can be in church. You can wake up tomorrow morning, begin to worship God and praise God and have the power of God come over you. You know, I'm telling you, you can have God do something amazing in your life every day of your life. And so I thought that was pretty cool. Anyway, I've been pretty happy. Last year, I took 2017 off. I should say off, not really off from pastoring my church, but I didn't preach anywhere. I didn't go out and preach at any place too much. Kind of just took time just to deal with things in my own life, in my own heart. And I told God in December, in the new year, I said, God, wherever you open the door this year, I'll go. I won't refuse. And I'm preaching right through the every, you know, in February, you know, every Sunday night I've been somewhere. I've been in all three provinces this week. So God is just that good, right? And he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Now, last year, I had a huge ulcer in my stomach, and my heart was not beating right. Where before I get up to preach, I could feel that in my chest. And I went for some tests, and my heart would do this. It stopped. It would stop every third or fourth beat. And it would get worse when I tried to get behind the pulpit to preach, because the devil wants to magnify things, saying, what are you going to say today? What are you going to do today? Are you going to still declare Isaiah 53 verse 5? I don't know if you know me, but Isaiah 53 verse 5, I probably say that 10 times in every sermon. Doesn't matter if I'm preaching on anything, Isaiah 53 verse 5 comes across. And so the devil was trying to tempt me to change my words, change my confession, change, you know what? How can you believe that? You got a bleeding ulcer? You got a heart that stops beating? And I tell you what, it gets pretty freaky, you know, something about your heart beating too fast. But when your heart stops, you're kind of hoping in between when that kick comes back that it's going to kick back in. Right? And you know, then after that, the enemy tries to come in, anxiety tries to creep in, all that stuff tries to happen in your life. And I had to keep standing on the word of God and standing on the word of God and standing on the word of God. I'm going to live, not die, declare the mighty works of God. My heart beats to the rhythm of life. The life of God flows through my arteries and through my heart. It beats. The very life of God flows through my veins. And I tell you what, I expect to live. He said, I could say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. I declare life and health in my body in the name of Jesus. So I begin to decree that. 2018, just a few weeks ago, in November of 2017, God told me 2018 would be the year of fulfillment. That things he's spoken in my life would begin to be fulfilled. That things would begin to come to pass. Well, this time at church, when I told the church it was the year of fulfillment, they amened a little bit louder than the year of overflow. right? Because they don't want to be catching up. You know, they want to come along. And so the year of fulfillment. And so I'm in church one day, and there I am, I'm worshiping God. And you got to know, I've been standing on the word of God for a year, and the altar's still there, and my heart is still acting up over and over again. And I'm praying, and I'm standing on the word of God. And one Sunday morning in the middle of worship service, God said to me, he says, you have a spiritual condition that has caused a physical manifestation. Now, what? He says, you have a spiritual condition that has caused a physical manifestation. And he said, if you do this, you'll be absolutely healed. I said, God, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to get off Facebook. He says, I don't want you thinking about everything that's going on in everybody else's life. He says, I don't want those people that hurt you and you've got hurt about to be able to rehearse that in your mind over and over again by watching what they're doing, watching what they're saying. And I tell you what. And then he said this. He said, son, he says, you know why that manifestation of healing has not happened in your body? And this is what he said. He says, my word says, let not your heart be troubled. And I tell you what, because my heart, I was believing the right thing. I was confessing the right thing, but my heart was troubled. And as long, because where do we believe? He says, if you believe in your heart, but if you got a troubled heart, and I'll tell you what, my heart was troubled. I was getting all, my mind was full of everything everybody else was doing. I was troubled by offense. I was troubled by unforgiveness. I was troubled by resentment, and I could not get healed. Once I got off of that stuff, I'm telling you, I went back to the doctor. He put the scope back down and he put on my piece of paper, the ulcer is healed. And I went, glory to Jesus. And my heart has never skipped a beat since. Praise God. Woo! I feel good. I know that I would now. So good. Right? It's good to feel good. But you know what? When you're battling and you're not winning, you got to take time to find out why you're not winning. Something's got to be blocking it. And I tell you what, it was unforgiving. My heart was troubled. What did he say in his word? He said, guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it flows the issues of life. I want the issues, not the tissues. You know, I mean, come on, somebody. We got the tissues, but we don't got the issues. We got to guard our heart with all diligence. Then what did he say in Proverbs chapter 4? He says, son, incline thy ears to my saying. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. It was amazing when I started guarding my heart, when forgiveness began to flow in my life and the love of God came back. It was amazing. Out of my heart, it was life unto those that find them, and it became health to all my flesh. And I said to God, God, I thank you. But let me tell you something. Up to the healing, God made me preach on honor. He made me preach on humility. He made me preach on forgiveness. And I thought I was preaching to my congregation that they needed to know something. You should honor. You should be humble. And God was getting me to preach to me because I needed humility. I needed to honor. And I needed to forgive. But when my heart condition changed, there was no stopping the healing manifestation of God from manifesting in that stomach. I mean, I had stomach pain. That ulcer was a pain. I'm telling you. And I looked at the doctors. He put ulcer. He didn't put gone. He didn't put resolve. He put healed. Amen. Ulcer healed. But I had to deal with my heart not be troubled. If you're believing God for a manifestation of health, but you're believing because you have fear, your heart is troubled. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. And so we can't have a troubled heart and fear in our lives. And I tell you what, fear comes from uncertainty. Fear comes by not knowing. And the problem with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is we think we're doing the word of God by chance. This is not blind faith. This is not a myth. This is not walking in the unknown. When you put the word of God first in your life, you walk in the known of God. You walk in the now of God, and you walk in what is real in God. This is real. This is not maybe real. He said, by his stripes, I am healed. That's a certainty. Right? And so fear comes when we're uncertain. Last Sunday night, we're preaching at Pastor Gary Bitely's church. People are bending over, couldn't bend over. People were healed. I'm telling you, we had a time. Why? Because we let not our hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. What did Jesus say to the guy, to the guy that the daughter was dead? He says, don't be afraid. Only believe. Right? What did he tell his disciples? Don't be afraid, only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. To the doctor is impossible, but to God all things are possible to them that believe. So I am not putting my trust. And you know what? Me and my wife, we went away this weekend in Halifax, and our daughter had bought us a night out. And so we went out, and my house, I don't have regular TV. I just don't. I got Roku. I watch my Christian programming, and I watch the programs I want to watch. I don't have the news on all the time. I tell you what, I don't even need the news. People will tell me the news. Don't worry. People will let you know of all the news that's going on all around the world. But we were just in the hotel, and I start watching the news for about half an hour. I said, how can we live victorious filling our minds with this stuff over and over and over again? We're focused on the flu and the vaccine that doesn't work, but Isaiah still works. I mean, they tell you everything that don't work, but God's word works. It's funny, what works we don't focus on. Right? And so we let our hearts be troubled. And then when God began to tell me that it was the year of fulfillment, I began to think, you know what? You know, fulfillment is not always on my time. People think that God works by minutes and hours and days. God has no concept of that clock right there. He don't really care if it's 7:30, if it's 8:30, if it's 9:30. He's got no concept of time that's on the clock. Because God says a day is like 1,000 years. So he says, wait a minute. Right? If he said, wait a minute, and some people think that time on the clock determines things. God doesn't operate by time. He operates by seasons. Man invented time. God invented seasons. And he says, in due season, I would reap if I faint not. He said in Leviticus 26, he says, in due season, he will give us the early and the former rain together. The grapes will be full. We have to throw out the old to bring in the new. Isn't that a good season? Wouldn't it be great to throw out the old to bring in the new of what God's going to do? He said that in Leviticus. Then in Deuteronomy, he said it again. And the one thing, when you are in your due season or you're in the time of God, you are in the cosmos of God, I tell you what, it's an amazing thing. All things work together for good. But a lot of people don't understand. And then in Titus 1 verse 3, didn't he say, in due time, I'll manifest my word. In due time, he'll manifest his word. How many like for him to manifest his word in due time in your life? Boy, come on, somebody, you got to help me. How many like to have due time manifest, the word of God manifest in your life? So when he told me that it was the year of fulfillment, I went back to every prophecy I ever heard. And I said, God, this is going to be fulfilled. 2018 is my year of fulfillment. And Isaiah, I mean, there's hundreds of years between Isaiah and Matthew. Isn't there? And Ezekiel and all the prophets. And people say, well, I heard it prophesied now for 50 years Jesus is coming. Well, they heard it prophesied for 400 and some years till Jesus came the first time. Right? Didn't God tell Abraham, I'm going to give you an inheritance? He says, I'm going to give you, a lineage as the stars in the heaven, as the sand on the seashore. You know, what was a minute? It was probably 25 years. I don't know. But he said, in a minute. And then he went and offered Isaac, and the covenant was made so Jesus could come. And then in Matthew, verse 8, 17, Jesus said this. He says that this might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. I have taken your infirmities and carried your sorrows. Oh, that it might be fulfilled. Now, you don't have to wait for healing, because healing has been fulfilled. In the year of fulfillment, healing shouldn't be a struggle. It should be a matter of just receiving what is fulfilled. In Isaiah, he prophesied. In John 19, verse 31, Jesus said, it is finished. He was on the cross. He took the scars upon his back, and by his stripes, I am healed. In 1 Peter 2:24 says, I was healed. If I is and I was, then in good new Phoenice, I am. I is the heel of the Lord. And if you stay where you're to, God will come where you're at. Amen. It's fulfilled. Why is the church walking around thinking it's curse? When Galatians chapter 3 says he's redeemed me from the curse of the law. Because of the law of sin and death, sickness is a result of sin. It is, but not your personal sin. It's a result of the sin of man through Adam. But he redeemed me from the curse of the sin of man, Adam, that was by the law. And the law said that you had to prove yourself, and you had to do everything right to be healed. And then Romans says, I'm not under the law of sin and death, but I am under the grace of God. So I don't come to God receiving healing because I'm perfect. I come to God receiving healing because Isaiah 53 was fulfilled, and he is perfect, and he is God, and he is the healer, and I'm just going to receive it just because of who he is. Yes, amen. Whew, I'm preaching better. You're amen. Man, this is good. Whew, I'm getting a revelation, right? So you got to get out of your mind. You got to stop letting your heart be troubled, and you got to stop being afraid. It's amazing to me that Christians are afraid to die, go to a place where they confess their sin to be able to go. To the world, death is the end. To the Christian, death is the graduation of the brand new beginning. Yes. I'm telling you what, I'm not afraid to die because I don't want to go to heaven. I mean, to be absent from the body, Paul said, is to be present with the Lord. The reason I want to live and be in health is because I want to accomplish all that God has placed me in this earth to accomplish for his kingdom and his purpose. I want to live so that God can live through me. That's the reason why I want to be healed. I want to be healed so I can do it without pain. Right? Don't get healed because you're afraid to die. Get healed because there's a purpose of God in your life and a greater destiny for your life than you can see right now. If you go now, who's not getting saved? Who's not getting healed? And who's not getting delivered? The reason you want to be healed is because God's got to bring it to somebody that's going to experience a miracle in their life. That's why I want to live. Because there's some days being in the ministry, I prayed to go. But that's the reason to live. That's the reason God wants you well. Do you think God wants you well so you can just say, I'm well? I'm well. Praise God, I'm well. Whoop-de-doo. You know, I'm well because he's got something for me to do. I want to accomplish. When I get to heaven, you know, there are jewels and crowns. When I get there, I want to hear, well done. Not well, what have you done? You know, right? I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to take my gift and bury it in the ground. I want to take my gift and I want to give it to God. I want to be well enough to take the gift, take the voice, take the testimony that God has placed in my life and tell somebody else how good God is. You know what? It doesn't mean I didn't go through hard times. I've been through hard times, but God's still good. You know what? I've been to miserable places, but God's still good, because my circumstance doesn't change who God is. But if I believe in God, in spite of my circumstance, all things will work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. But tonight in this place is, I didn't really get to my message, but I guess this was my message. But I just want to tell you, I struggled for a year and couldn't receive healing because my heart was troubled. You know, you got to stop living with a crowd. You know, some people live with 500 Facebook friends. Everything they do, I don't care what they do. Do what you want to do. I don't got time for that anymore. Only thing I use Facebook for is to let people know where I've been and where I'm going when it comes to preaching. But everything else, I tell you what, when it was not in front of me all the time, I was able to forgive those I had ought against. The Bible says, when you stand, pray, forgive those who have offended you. Yeah. And when I release that, I'll tell you what, sometimes physical manifestation is tied to a spiritual condition. That has to be a reason why Jesus called it a spirit of infirmity, right? There's got to be something that allows that spirit to be able to hang out there. You know what? There's got to be. And when my heart was not troubled, I'm glad I blessed them. Glory to God. Bless them all. Jesus. Hallelujah. The only Facebook I'm going to have is my face in his book. That's got to be your Facebook. Where's your Facebook? Here it is. I got many friends. I'm friends with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm friends with Moses. I'm friends with Elijah, Ezekiel. I'm friends with Matthew, Peter, Paul, and John. Oh, come on. That's my friends. How many friends? Oh, and I got a lot of likes. I got better than likes. You got a button there called love. 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 Oh, love. Faith worketh by love. And if you have all the faith in the world, but have not love, you are like a clanging gong. And one translation says you're like a ding dong. If you have not love, you can have all the faith to move mountains. How do you think you get the manifestation of God in your life? How do you think we get faith to work? Galatians 5 verse 6 says, faith worketh by love. And if your heart is troubled, you're not walking in the love of God. That's the place where I think David would have wrote Selah. Yeah. Think on these things. You know, for years I hardly slept. I thought it's because I was too hyper. Because I got energy. Believe you me, I drive 2,000 kilometers a week in the Maritimes. I pastor my church and I preach away. And sometimes if I'm sitting at home on a Sunday night with nothing to do, I get bored. So I thought I was just hyper. I had ADD or something. I don't know. But what I had was a troubled heart. You know, your mind will go where your heart has stopped. And I was allowing my mind to meditate on where my heart was troubled. And it would cause me not to have sleep. Do you know, since I got rid of my crowd, I can sleep. I roll myself in those blankets like I'm in a cocoon and I could be there till spring. I am telling you, I got rest. Do you know what? If you don't have rest, your body will start failing. Do you know if you don't have rest, there's things that'll happen in your life? Do you know if you got anxiety in your life all the time, it causes all kinds of things to happen in your heart, in your life? What is all that about? It's all about having your heart be troubled. And that's the one thing God said, let not your heart be troubled. Amen. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, do you know before Jesus did anything else, he said this about Isaiah 61. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and bring healing to the broken hearts. Well, a broken heart would be a troubled heart. We got to stop thinking about everybody that has offended us and everybody we're offended with. We got to start walking in forgiveness, because I tell you what, the price is too precious for you to have unforgiveness in your life. And I want to tell you something, unforgiveness and offense, you can believe me, don't believe me, do whatever you want with it, but it will block healing from manifesting in your body. Absolutely will block the manifestation of healing in your physical body, because you're consumed with something else than the Word of God. But the Word of God will work when we get rid of the unforgiveness, we get rid of the offense, we get rid of the troubled heart, and we allow God's Spirit to flow in us. We already got the Spirit of life living on the inside of us. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, it dwells in you. Everybody say, it dwells in me. Woo, say it again. Say, it dwells in me. And it shall quicken my mortal body. It's already there. The manifestation of healing is already in your spirit. Hallelujah. There's an anointing in you to be healed. There's an anointing in you to be healed. There's an anointing in you to raise you up. There's an anointing. I tell you what, there was such an anointing on Elijah. They threw somebody's dead body on his bones, and they came back to life. I mean, that's an anointing. I mean, there's something about having a little dab on Sunday morning, but he was soaked in it. And the Spirit of Christ that raised Christ from the dead, it quickens my mortal body. And so when I got rid of all those hindrances in my life, healing was able to flow. Oh, and it flowed. I preached all this service, and my heart did not skip once. Hallelujah. 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 And I've been for ECGs. I've done a stress test. I've done an echocardiogram, and they said all is well. I'm telling you what, they say you have a strong heart. But see, because my heart was troubled, the troubling of my heart was allowing me to have a weak heart manifestation. So how many would like to get rid of stuff so it can flow in your physical bodies? I'm not here to condemn you, saying, well, Pastor, why is it that I have to change? They're the ones that offended me. Well, because God wants you to change, even if you are a fisherman, right? I mean, it's just a matter of what it is. Hallelujah. Fishermen can change. See, Jesus started with the motley crew first. He went and got the fishermen. He said, if I can do something with a fisherman, I can do anything with anybody. Amen. But I'm telling you what, God can change your life. And you can leave here tonight, you go to sleep. You can leave here tonight and healing begin to manifest in your physical body. You can leave here tonight and have joy that because hands have been laid on you, that you are recovering in the name of Jesus. You can, glory to God. Hallelujah. You can see the manifestation of God flowing and operating in your life. And you can have faith and assurance that there's nothing stopping the flow of the anointing of God to manifest in the healing virtue of Jesus in your body. Amen. If you got ulcers, he can heal your ulcer. If you've got acid reflux, He can heal acid reflux. You know, I had acid reflux so bad that I had to get my esophagus stretched every 6 months. And only because of the ulcer, they had to go back and have a look, but it had been 7 years. Whew. I don't need no acid. Hallelujah. Amen. Right? They told me I had 40% lung capacity. I'm doing okay. I don't got a puffer out, do I? No. Because Jesus gave me 90-some percent. It's probably better than that now. Glory to God. Why? Because if there's nothing in the way, healing will flow. Amen. You know, and the thing is, if you think your heart can't get troubled because you're a certain type of person. Do you know I was the sweetest guy before I got in the ministry? I mean, the first 10 years of ministry, I loved everybody. Oh, love them. Love them. I forgave them for they do not know what they're doing. But after a while, you say, God, they can't be all that stupid. Right? But then the devil tells you they are. So you know, so you believe it. And I mean, you ask my wife. I mean, I tender-hearted. I mean, just, but there came a time where I allowed my heart to get troubled. And when my heart got troubled, then things began to happen in my body that didn't need to take place. And I couldn't understand why. And then we get to a place where our hearts are troubled. Then we blame God because God's not healing us. How many people say, well, I stood on the word. I mean, I've been standing on the word for 5 years and nothing else has happened. You think it's on God's part that healing's not flowing? No, it's not on God's part. So if you've been standing on 10 years, don't you think it's time you might listen what he tells you to change? Sounds simple. No more Facebook. Some people thought I fell off the planet. I was on Facebook all the time. But, you know, and sometimes now I just go on there just for a minute. Why? I guard my heart with all diligence. Out of it's going to flow the issues of life. I don't want to allow the anointing that's in me to stop. And I don't want to allow the anointing that's on me to stop. I want to keep the anointing within and the anointing upon to keep flowing in my life. I've seen people with Parkinson's healed. That's pretty big. They say that's incurable. I've seen people with hernias. I mean, I laid hold on a hernia that stuck out to here, and God told me to put my hand on it. I just said, nah, Jesus. Not really interested, but he said to lay hold on it, so I laid hold on it and cursed it at the root. Looked like nothing happened. 5 days after, the guy sends me an email. Said, Pastor, that hernia went right back into my stomach and it's absolutely gone. I'm telling you, I've seen people healed of cancer. Saw a guy here healed of an incurable lung disease. I mean, we just seen all kinds of stuff happen. I mean, I seen the paralyzed guy come out of a wheelchair. And I love that stuff. I don't want to allow the anointing of God to stop flowing. So I tell you something tonight. If you're ready to stop your heart from being troubled, healing can manifest in your physical body. It can manifest in your physical body. Could you stand with me? Hallelujah. I want to do something before we pray. Father God, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now those of you who are serious, that are serious with God in this place, and I mean serious because you're going to let go of some stuff maybe you really don't want to. But you got to do it by faith. You got to let that stuff go. To be honest with you, it's killing you. It's killing you. It's causing stuff in your life that shouldn't be happening. Hallelujah. How many want to get rid of all the offense? All the unforgiveness? every hurt anybody's ever caused you, we're just going to let that go tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. And we're just going to release it by faith. I want you to say this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight that we've heard your word. And I am responding to the word that has been preached. Father God, I ask you now to forgive me. I ask you now to release me from all the offense and all the unforgiveness that I have harbored in my own heart. All the worry, all the anxiety, all the fear, I command it now to leave in the name of Jesus. I submit myself to God, and I resist to be offended, to be hurt. Hallelujah. Now say this with me. Father God, allow your Holy Spirit to shed abroad the love of God in my heart in the name of Jesus. I will operate, I will function, and I will walk in the love of God. Love is my first choice. It will never be my last resort. Love is where I move, is where I live, and it's where I'll be. I commend myself to your love from this day forward in the name of Jesus. I receive it now. Thank you, Father. I receive it now in Jesus' name. Well, come on, give God a hand of praise. Just magnify him that the love of God is flowing in your life, bringing health and a cure. Whew. Hallelujah. Whew. Well, you know, when you clean things up, things can happen. Yes. I was listening to Billy Burke, you know, and on TV the other day, and Billy was saying, I don't know if he's bishop, if he's pastor, whatever he is, evangelist Billy Burke, and he was saying, for us to begin to believe God for the miracles, we got to be all in. And it shook me again. I said, God, I haven't been all in. We need to be all in. I'm telling you, I'm not preaching a healing message anymore. I'm going to live one. We got to live this healing of Jesus in our lives. We got to live this manifestation of God in every part of our bodies in the name of Jesus. Whew. You believe God wants to heal you? From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. He said, let not your heart be troubled, only believe. All things are possible to those that believe. You know that blood pressure can get to 120 over 80. Do you know that every part of your body can function the way God created it function? Do you know you can live without puffers? The health of God can flow in your lungs, bringing new breath in every part of your body. Do you know leukemia can dissolve in Jesus' name? Every cancer, every tumor, every growth can be dissolved in the mighty name of Jesus. Every mind disease, schizophrenia, bipolarism, depression, every form of anxiety can go in the name of Jesus. Do you know all things are possible to them that believe? All things are possible to them that believe. That rotator cuff can be healed. Was that Vince Bravado that did that to you? Yeah, that was, because it sounded like him. Pastor Vince came to my church, and there was an elderly lady that was 88 years old, Tina's great aunt, and she said, I got a neck pain. And I knew Vince because he grabbed her by the two ears and he went and he said, how's that? I said, Jesus, either she's dead or she's healed. Just one or the other. But Pastor Vince had kind of one of those Smith Wigglesworth anointings, I called them. I mean, just rough. You know, God tell him one time, punch somebody in the gut and a tumor fell. I mean, it's pretty, you know, he really moved in the Spirit of God. And I worked under his ministry, and he laid hands on me. And, you know, we've seen, you know, I don't work that way. I won't snap your neck back and forth. Unless I don't think so. But anything could happen. I know there's a lady in Toronto, she came for prayer, and she had a throat tumor, cancer in her throat. And she came back, we prayed for her, and she came back the next day just screaming at me. I thought I did something wrong. And Pastor. And I said, what happened? She said, I threw up the tumor at 4 o'clock in the morning in the toilet. And the tumor was absolutely gone out of her throat. So I'm telling you, I've seen things happen. But when there's nothing hindering, and tonight in this place, let's believe there's nothing hindering. Everything is forgiven. Everything is gone in the name of Jesus. If you need physical healing in your body, and if you need a physical healing, if it's in your back, I tell you what, no matter where it is, in the mighty name of Jesus, whatever is happening in your body, I want you to begin to come right now. And we're going to believe God with you. We're going to pray with you. We're going to lay hands on you.